Live from the R&R Studios in the good old friendly city, it's the Boys from the Wheel podcast.
What is going on, guys? Welcome into the newly renovated R&R Studios. I'm here with my man, Chris. Chris, what do you think of the new digs here, man?
I absolutely love it. We have all the room, and if you're going through, you have a lot of history from wheeling. Of course, most of it has to deal with sports, but that's who we are. We mostly deal with sports, so you got to love it. But we got the Boys from the Wheel sign, some Rough Rider stuff, Greyhounds, Nailers. You have your shrine back there from all your athletic accomplishments. I'd say that's one incredible studio. Mighty great job by you.
Yeah, definitely. We're going to get some camera work in here going forward, but we just wanted to get a first episode out in the new studio, get some things going, chat up some different things, some exciting things coming, and different stuff going on. Chris, we are just, you know, a couple months out from football. I mean, this is our prime time, man.
Absolutely. I mean, I always enjoy arena football and indoor football going on right now, but when that last game ends in December for high school football, I'm already counting the days till next year. And I'll tell you what, this is going to be one incredible season, Jeff. I've been going around to a lot of the schools, communicating with the coaches from around the area right now. And there's a lot of what ifs this season. And there's just a lot of unknown going into this football season. And I think this is going to be a very special year for a lot of these Valley teams.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of you know, kids coming back. Unfortunately, you got to deal with a lot of seniors graduating. Everybody deals with that. Some new facilities going up. I was actually in East Liverpool the other day, and boy, that turf looks amazing. I think it's a year old. I think they got it last year, but it looks fantastic. Barnesville getting new turf is definitely a huge thing. Definitely one of those teams I didn't think was ever going to get turf, to be honest.
Yeah, they were one that I was, you know, never imagining that, but especially coming off the 11-1 season that they came off of, to get that improvements to their facilities out there. And you know, they're one of those teams that you talked about. They lost a lot of guys, but they have a lot of younger guys that are coming up through the system now. And I really see another successful season for the Shamrocks. But what a great way to start here, getting some new turf. Of course, I live 15 minutes away from arguably the best high school facilities I've ever seen in Harrison Central, the new baseball field. Everybody, we got to experience the new press box last year. A lot of great things happening around the Valley, and it's just exciting to see, especially when it comes to youth sports.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely paying it forward, giving it back to these kids, and it's fantastic to see. I mean, one facility that, you know, I haven't seen, I don't know if you have, but, man, Beaver Local. I mean, I know it's a couple years old, but still, I mean, state-of-the-art, just great facility out there, and just, you know, kudos to Wolf to giving back to his alma mater.
It is really cool, too. The one thing that it just blew my mind when I was watching one of their games last year was when they scored their first touchdown, how they're able to get the lights to go on and off and in rhythm. I thought that was fantastic, especially for high school. But just a couple years ago, I was up there in Toronto when they were putting the new turf on and building the new field up there. So there's something going on up that way right now. But, I mean, just a lot of great things. But one team that's not in the OVAC but has absolutely beautiful facilities that you and I got to see a couple years ago is Carrollton. So it's just, you know, even not within the OVAC but on the outside areas, a lot of great facilities and a lot of great football teams. And you can't talk about that without talking about Edison, too. They're another one that just got some brand-new, beautiful facilities, and especially a 10-0 season for them last year. Unfortunately, they were upset in the first round, but, I mean, they got upset by a 4-6 Cardinal Mooney team, which is probably the meanest 4-6 team you're ever going to play against.
Yeah, I mean, ask Lindsley about that one. I mean, they're always so good out there, but, yeah, I mean, Edison definitely deserves it. They're a bigger school. They've got, you know, great facilities. I remember playing on their field, man. It was literally back in the middle of almost nowhere. I mean, just tree covered and everything, but it looks fantastic. The field looks great, and they're doing great things there at that school as well.
Yeah, and that's what I love to see. And I mean, I tell you, the one that I'm the most jealous about because I went there is Wheeling Park's new facilities. Oh my Lord, the softball field, the baseball field. Of course, the school itself definitely looks a lot different than when I went there, but I was really jealous driving up by that baseball field the other day and just how gorgeous the facilities are up there at Wheeling Park.
That new entrance is just amazing. I mean, it looks like a college campus now.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, and it's just great for these student athletes as we especially evolve through everything. You know, not only are we just evolving year by year the way that we live life, but you know, you got new equipment now, new technology out there, and I'm just glad that the area is really starting to keep up with the times here.
Yeah, I mean, you got everything going on. I mean, it's really kicking off here in the next couple of weeks. You've got the Big Cat Challenge going on in Shadyside, which is an awesome event. You know, always give love to the big guys. That's just a great event that they hold. I don't know how many consecutive years now they've been doing that, but it's a great event. The linemen get in there, they do the drills, they do basically a combine to show off their skills, and they give trophies, and it's a great way to kick off the season. The All-Star game coming up on the 22nd, which is always a fantastic game between Ohio and West Virginia.
You know, that's another really interesting game this year, is that All-Star game. I mean, I'm kind of looking at both rosters right now. Both teams seem dead even this season. And, you know, I was kind of curious because anytime you get to the All-Star game, you know, there are some guys that have commitments to universities. Sometimes those universities don't want them playing in All-Star games. So that's another factor. So it was really nice to be able to see, you know, who was going to be on the field, who is going to be healthy enough. But one really neat thing that I love about West Virginia this year is the duo in the backfield that they're going to be using are both Wheeling Central grads in Ferreira and Riley Watkins. So that's going to be exciting to see that. You know, two guys from the same school in the backfield.
Yeah, I mean, and you know that just goes right down to street yard ball. I mean, you're going to be, you know, basically because they don't, these playbooks for the All-Star games don't go at depth. I mean, you're probably running half the route tree, to be honest. I mean, you're not really doing too much. But those guys have played together, you know, for the past 4 years, and they know each other and they know how each other's work. So yeah, that's definitely going to be a huge thing. One thing that I've always loved about the All-Star game is the getting together and giving the helmet stickers to each other. I think that's one of the coolest things is you try to look and see, okay, you know, who that helmet sticker. Like, it's really cool to see it.
Yeah, I've always enjoyed that, and that's why I'm glad that, you know, they get to wear that high school helmet one more time, and you get to play high school ball one more time. Because for some of these guys, you know, one of them that I could say right away is Andrew Vera. You know, this is going to be his very last game in a football uniform. He had some offers, but you know, he decided that he was going to pursue his academic career, which I'm so proud of him. He's going to be heading down to a high university, and even though I think he could definitely walk on the team down there, but you know, just a high university, just getting a fantastic kid on the academic side. But you have guys, and of course, you know, I'm kind of picking on the St. Clairsville guys here. You have guys like Marcus Rector, Jamarcus Webster, Drew Joswack that are going to be playing at the next level. So for some of these guys, it's just okay, one last high school hurrah, and then it's off to college. And then some of them, like I said, it's going to be the last time they're going to stripe up the or snap up the helmet again.
Yeah, I mean, and some of these guys, it is their last game, and you know, they put a lot of them put everything into it. And that's one thing that I've noticed with the All-Star game is you don't have too much of, you know, oh, I'm just here. You know, they really have both, you know, teams have a lot of pride in their state, you know, with Ohio and West Virginia being so close, you know, with the OVAC rivalry and everything. But they always, you know, it's most of the time it is a good game. There isn't too many years that there's been blowouts, but there has been.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a great game, and both, you know, states just give it everything.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, there's a lot of pride going into that game, and it was kind of funny because when I first started going to that game, I was actually on the West Virginia side because I went to Wheeling Park and I was living in West Virginia at the time. So it's kind of funny now to flip over to the other side here to Ohio, and I'm sure you kind of feel the same way, you know, growing up in Ohio and then now you're on the West Virginia side.
Yeah, but I still sit on Ohio side.
Yeah.
I still rep, you know, the Buckeye side of things for when it comes to the game, because they, you know, they represent it as the Buckeyes and the Mountaineers at the game. So I still rep the Buckeye side of things, but you know, and it's fun because, you know, everybody over here is, you know, West Virginia, so it's a fun banter back and forth to go at, but.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you, I mean, even going back to my high school days and even college days, going into I think it was the 2007 All-Star game. It was 6-0 in favor of Ohio. We had only seen two, or excuse me, in favor of West Virginia. We only saw two field goals in that game. Very last play of the game, is a Hail Mary. And of course, they had the track star that just won the 100 meter dash in states from Steubenville, just goes down the field untouched, and Ohio won 7-6. It's just, I've definitely seen some crazy games down there, but some great athletes that have been on the field in that All-Star game. We saw one of them with the West Virginia Rough Riders in Connor Arlia. I believe, actually, I think Cole Smellie played in that game too.
So did Josh Piles.
Josh Piles played in that game. And then Nate Davis, who's out with the San Diego Strike Force now. I mean, just seeing these guys, you know, one last time in a high school aspect, and then seeing them turn pro or college, or like some of these guys are doing, you know, in the coaching realms now. Bernie Thompson, just had an interview with him a few days ago, and, you know, going back to his playing days, and how cool is it for him too that now he's actually going to be coaching against the guy that coached him. So it's just, it's such a, football is such a small community, and it, everything from the OVAC All-Star game to the regular season to guys turning pro, this is why I love this sport.
I mean, and I'm so blessed that we get to cover it the way we do. I mean, with doing all of the interviews and everything else, and just, you know, calling games in general and getting to know these student athletes and everything. And I mean, we'll turn the page here and start talking about Arena again. I mean, just the friendships that we made with those guys, you know, a couple years ago, and hearing the news, you know, this weekend about a team coming back to Wheeling is just phenomenal. And I know you and I are both excited about it.
We are indeed. And I mean, there's a lot of anticipation going in. I mean, I know your phone's been blowing up. My phone's been blowing up. And I'm like, guys, all I know is what I heard in the release. I was like, that's all I know right now. But, you know, when Greg Fenario brought the West Virginia Rough Riders here, he had a plan. He was going to go out and he was going to get the guys that had arena experience that were very, very good players. He goes and gets his Ellis Langster. He goes and gets a Larry Beavers, a Jarrett Brown, a Noel Devine, you know, that had that WVU connection there. And then you have an arena veteran like Beavers that you're able to bring in. And then what do you do after that? You build with some local talent and you teach them the arena game. And like I said, two of the guys that were the biggest playmakers in that season, Connor Arlia from Weir Madonna, the Bridgeport Bulldog in Cole Smellie, and then also Jarrell Christian having a huge factor on that team from Steubenville. So it's really nice to see, and it's exactly what the Greyhounds did when they came. So it's what you got to do. You got to build yourself a line. You got to build yourself some talent, and then you fill in with guys that are local and that are talented, and you teach them the arena game.
I mean, I've never seen somebody pick up the game so quickly like I did in Cole Smellie. That is such a hard position to play in playing the MAC linebacker, because there's so many rules against you being good, but boy, was he good. He figured it out real quick, him being a former quarterback and just, you know, playing safety, and then now he's a linebacker. Like, I definitely, you know, I hate to say it, but it's sad that he didn't get any looks from any other teams here in the past 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, I know he had a couple CFL looks, which was good to hear, but yeah, you know, Cole's a guy who's very successful around the Valley in his business with personal training and everything, and you have to imagine, like I said, we don't know any players that have signed, are going to sign, we don't know anything like that, but I have a good feeling that the owner of this new team, they're going to be on the phone with Cole Smellie, with a Connor Arlia. And I mean, there's some other guys, you know, around the area that I'm pretty sure can make an impact here that I'm sure they're going to be on the phone with. But yeah, one of the biggest things that Cole said, and we just brought the guy up, is Larry Beavers. That's why you bring in an arena veteran. When they were practicing outdoors and then indoors up in Washington, you know, Beavers would be like, hey, Smellie, you're too deep, man. It's a 5-yard box. It's a 5-yard box. So not only do you have, you know, your coaches that are coaching you, but you bring in some veterans that know the game so well that could tell you, hey, you're too far back, or hey, man, you're too far up. That's successful for a team. You got to have players that know the game, got to have coaches that know the game, but it's always nice when you have the guy that can do a little bit of both.
Yeah, I mean, and that's fantastic. Beavers was having a good season there in Fayetteville, but unfortunately Fayetteville closing their doors, unfortunately. But I mean, those guys, you know, making impacts on teams. I mean, we just talked about it before we got on the air. Harold Love, I mean, my goodness. I mean, was sitting, waiting for an opportunity, and he gets the call from Arizona, and Arizona has been undefeated since then. Arizona, very, very good team. and Love is playing nose tackle out there with the best of them in the IFL. I mean, he's had IFL experience before because he played for Spokane with the Empire out there. But I mean, he has grown and learned the game. And he's a great athlete, and he's somebody that, you know, just loves the game and loves to be there.
He really has indeed. I mean, made an immediate impact when he came to West Virginia for the Rough Riders. And, you know, it's just he was one guy that for some reason he's always an underdog, and I'll never understand that. He came in. I mean, but look at that defensive line that the Rough Riders had. You had Sean Oakman from Baylor. You had Harold Love in the middle. You had Larry Ford on the outside from WVU. Then, oh, by the way, okay, let's throw in a B.J. McBride, a former NFL player that had a lot of arena experience. I mean, just those guys. And then you had Brian Ability Price, Cole Smelly back there in that linebacking core. Throw in Cam Dixon, a Pittsburgh native. I mean, just the talent in that area. And it doesn't even go to talk about the defensive backfield with Ellis Langster, Devon Dixon, Boom Key, like all these guys, just fantastic backfield. And I mean, a team that pitched two shutouts in the regular season, that's unheard of in arena football.
Yeah, I mean, it's just they shut it down back there, and just, you know, the havoc that was wreaked up front from that front four there, just unbelievable.
Yeah, it really is indeed. And then, I mean, you had guys like Noel Devine that you knew was a hell of an athlete anyway, and you knew he was going to pick up the arena game quick. Jarrett Brown, you know, big mobile quarterback. And, I mean, it's just nice to have out of these guys. And, of course, you know, I mean, there's been talks about JB retiring, which, I mean, he hasn't played in the past couple years. But, you know, also, you know, there's been some teams that have kind of talked to him, like, hey, we need a little bit of help. Not saying that he's going to return, but, I mean, that's got to be a name that's probably going to be thrown out there, too.
I would love to see Noel in an indoor game. Like, I would love to see
indoor rules. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, because a lot of people don't realize there is a difference between arena and indoor. You know, arena is more pass happy. They're going to throw the ball more. You need a bigger back in the backfield to protect. It's almost like a fourth lineman. But in IFL rules, you have two or indoor rules, excuse me. You have two receivers in motion. So, I mean, that leaves the backfield wide open. You have a mobile quarterback and a good running back. That's a huge, huge help to an offense. I mean, there's a reason why some of these guys go after and have huge, huge, huge careers in the IFL. I mean, there's huge, huge people that come to mind. And, you know, you have Neil, who played in Iowa, who is now, you know, leading the charge with Las Vegas, who's just unbelievable right now. And you have Snead playing this year, who played for Vegas last year, who's playing with the Panthers this year in Bay Area, and he's just lighting it up. And, you know, you pair that with a good, fast running back, it's crazy the amount of things you can do.
Yeah, so give it a little bit of a history lesson here. If you've followed all the teams that have played at West Bank Arena, you had the Steel Valley Smash, which they actually were a part of the IFL at one point.
The original IFL.
The original IFL. And then when they moved to the Greyhounds, they were originally in the National Indoor Football League. And, I mean, yeah, the Smash had a tough time there, but especially when they became the Greyhounds, they go out and they get a Valley Great in Jose Davis, which, like you said, a very mobile quarterback, somebody that had a fantastic arm. They go out and get a Bertie Dockery, a Bunny Jefferson, you know, guys that probably didn't have a prayer to even make an NFL team, but they adjusted to that indoor game. And, you know, Jose, of course, when he was picked up from the Greyhounds, went to the CFL, but then he realized how good he was in indoor/arena, gets an AFL contract, and has an incredible career.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to see that. I mean, who knows? Maybe we see a Davis. Who knows? We had one just graduate, correct?
Well, he's got one more year at Wheeling. Oh, yeah, man. Javon. Yeah, he's got one more year at Wheeling. So not, but then again, remember though, when the season started, you know, yeah, he may not technically be graduated, but also remember he's just right here at Wheeling University, so it's not like he can't do schooling and, you know, possibly do this new team as well. So you could see another Davis lining up there.
I mean, that would be fantastic. I mean, just the great connection that, you know, that we have with the Davises, with Jose, and with Nate. Nate's just lighting it up, man. He's out in the IFL right now doing his thing. I mean, he middle of the night trade kind of just happened, and it was the craziest thing I think I've ever seen. But I mean, how do you trade the leading passer and, you know, leader in touchdowns by a mile at that point, and you trade him to another team? It is what it is. It's the crazy world of arena that we live in, but he's doing good things. I think they're going to miss the playoffs, unfortunately, but I think if he comes back for another season with that team, he's definitely got some good weapons around him. Hoodie Rogers is another one of his good receivers out there, just lighting it up, and he's, you know, he's still doing his thing. He's dropping back. He's throwing the ball, you know, as far as he can down the field and connecting with his receivers. The touch on the ball that he has is just unbelievable.
I can tell you that. We were talking earlier about the OVAC All-Star game, and I, for the life of me, cannot remember the wide receiver's name from Cambridge, but I mean, it was a total mismatch the whole game, and just the touch that Nate had on the ball. Threw that kid 3 touchdown passes that game, and I'm giving myself a demerit for not remembering his name, but I mean, just the touch that he had back then, and of course, the incredible career he had at Ball State, has a cup of coffee in the NFL. Unfortunately, you know, NFL wasn't in the cards, but he was able to find himself a professional contract in indoor football and really make a name for himself.
Well, yeah, I mean, and then, you know, we talked about Jarrell Christian. He actually met up with Jarrell in Amarillo, yeah, with the Venom, just in the CIF, and played there a couple years. And, you know, oddly enough, you know, couldn't get past the Duke City Gladiators, and they go into the IFL and they offer him a contract to go play with them in the IFL, which was kind of ironic, but, you know, funny in the same sense. But yeah, and he does great things there, wins the MVP his first season in the IFL.
And that's, you know, and that's the other great thing about this area too, and just some of the stories that we've heard. I mean, think about it too. Cole Smelly did not play a down of college football. One guy that we had back in the Greyhound days, Gary Jackson from Martins Ferry, which we're going to have him on the podcast here soon to talk a little Greyhounds football, never played a down of college football and was arguably one of the best corners in the NIFL in all three of those years. In 2002, he had 11 interceptions. I mean, it's just something that, you know, I almost feel sometimes, too, that the AFL and the IFL, it's talent that has gone unnoticed. Look at the two-time NAL MVP and Darius Prince. I mean, how this kid's not on an NFL roster, I'll never know. And then you go to Last Chance U with Malik Henry, who's the quarterback of the Carolina Cobras now. I mean, granted, he's a little inconsistent, but when he's on, it's like, man, like, how's he not playing in a different league? So, you know, it's still a lot of talent. If you guys are questioning indoor arena and say, I don't know if this is for me, trust me, it is a lot of talent. It's still football. It's just, I think there's a little bit more hard hitting. It's a lot more interesting. And I'm sorry, I'm just going to go out on a limb and say this, compared to the NFL, the guys aren't pussies. I'm just going to say it.
No, I mean, I get it. I mean, and that's the thing, though. That's, you have to bring that mentality, because there's no guaranteed money. Like, it is game to game. Mm-hmm. You get paid per game, so you're giving it everything you have for that one game. You know what I mean? You have to dress. You have to be out there. There's no ifs, ands, or buts.
Oh, there really isn't. And, I mean, you know, I had the opportunity this year to do some of the Carolina Cobras games and just kind of getting to know those guys and just flat out seeing the injuries that they've gone through. Or, you know, you have an Adam Smith, who's one of their smallest receivers down there, was actually a quarterback his entire playing career in college until his senior year. They switched him to wide receiver, and thank goodness they did, because that's how he got his first pro contract, was as a wide receiver. But just, you know, however fast he can run, let's say 15 mile an hour into the boards, I mean, it's not light. And I mean, getting to know these guys, you really see the passion that they have for the game. And of course, they all want to play at the next level. They want to play in the NFL. They want to play in higher leagues. But if not, you know, they're giving it their all out there.
So we talked about a little bit about some teams like folding midseason and everything. Unfortunately, that happens. The nature of the beast in arena, unfortunately. I mean, things happen. I mean, it's almost game to game, to be honest. But I mean, I'm curious to see tonight with, you know, Kendrick Ings going out to San Antonio and linking up with Arvell Nelson. I mean, that's definitely a tough bite for the Cobras, unfortunately.
And they still have Barnett too, don't they?
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, that just gives Arvell, who's been the best quarterback in the league by far this year, I mean, just gives him another weapon out there. And you get a guy like Ings that's an arena veteran that really knows the game so well. And, It's going to be a real tough test for the Cobras because their defense has just been atrocious this past few weeks. I'm just going to call a spade here. And luckily, they've been able to outscore some teams to win the games. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be a true test. Thank goodness for them. It's at the Coliseum, but then they got to turn around again next week and head back out there again. So it's going to be a tough game, but it's great to see a guy like Ings that with his size, he probably wasn't going to get a lot of outdoor looks, but he is just the perfect type of guy for arena. He's fearless, he's small, he's quick, but that's the type of guy that you want to see.
Every time he has the ball in his hands, he has a chance to score. I mean, he's been around the league for a while. I mean, he's played. There's a whole slew of teams that he's played for and suited up for. I mean, definitely made his mark with the Blackjacks, with them coming in to Atlantic City. I mean, he was with the Storm at one point. I mean, he was, last season he was with the Cobras. I mean, they know firsthand what he can do. I mean, he's electric. He gets kickoffs. I mean, it's almost. It is and not almost, it is must see every time he touches the ball.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I had that last game when Carolina was playing against Fayetteville, and he just absolutely torched the defense. And I mean, he had a hell of a quarterback thrown to him that, some people from this area probably remember, Rakeem Cato, the former Marshall University product. So he's down in Orlando now, thrown to a guy by the name of Darius Prince. So, that makes you look even better down there. But I mean, even in Darius Prince's situation, which if you folks don't know about this guy, he's from the Pittsburgh area, only played 2 years of high school football, didn't even play college ball, still got a free agent opportunity with the Philadelphia Eagles, but he's made a name in arena football. He's been a multiple time MVP, but he was part of a dynasty up there in Albany and the Empire. I mean, the name just lived on. But Antonio Brown comes in, thinks he knows it all, and just completely fucks that organization up. I mean, it's not what you want to do. I mean, and it's just a shame that what happened in Albany. It's a shame that what happened in Fayetteville. But it is nice though to see a lot of these guys were able to get out of the whole Antonio Brown fiasco, and then the Fayetteville team folding and be able to find another team. So, but unfortunately for our guy Larry Beavers, he's still kind of looking for a team right now, and it just sucks. It really does. It's a really tough pill to swallow, and that's what frustrates me the most is what happened up in Albany. It's just I cannot believe what happened up there.
I mean, honestly, I mean, if you're Jacksonville, you're writing, Antonio Brown a thank you
Oh
card.
yeah, Sam Casanova, everybody.
I mean, they were trying to figure out the quarterback situation in Jacksonville, and then boom, he falls right in their lap. I mean, the best quarterback in the league, boom, here you go.
Yeah, and that's the thing, Casanova's another one, and I was talking to some folks about him. They're like, "Who the hell is this guy?" And I said, "Look, he's just a D2 quarterback, but maybe because of his size, he was overlooked." But another one that he's perfect for arena, and I mean, honestly, I think he could be perfect at some higher leagues. I'm actually shocked he didn't get an XFL or USFL look. Maybe it is his size, I don't know, but he's making one hell of a living in arena right now.
I mean, he just, the touch on the ball he has, the vision, the composure in the pocket, just unbelievable. Him to have the patience and know the routes and sit on a route and wait for it to break and then hit a receiver is unbelievable. I mean, granted, he's had some really good receivers to throw to, but still, I mean, that's not a knock on him at all. He knows where to put the ball. He's putting it right in stride, right where they can just take off with the ball.
Yeah, because you looked at the beginning of the season. I mean, Jacksonville kind of came out of the gate slow. Orlando just looked atrocious at the beginning of the year. But after the whole fiasco with Antonio Brown, they get Darius Prince. Then after the Fayetteville folding, they get Rakeem Cato, who was already a part of that organization at one point. So, and I believe is Cisse down there now too? Is he in Orlando, Cisse? The from Albany. He's with Orlando or Jacksonville. I know he's with one of them.
I know he went down south. I'm not sure where he ended up. I mean, it was a almost a who's who puzzle trying to figure out where everybody went. You know what I mean? With these teams splitting up. I mean, you see it, here, there, everywhere kind of thing. But I'm glad some of these guys, I mean, you talk about undersized and people around us. I mean, short. I mean, hell. That dude can ball. I mean, some people were like, wow, really? He really, was in Division II?
Yeah, Fairmont State.
Exactly. I mean,
Yeah, he's from the Maryland area, came over to Fairmont State, made a name for himself there, and he was actually looking at a semi-pro contract, and then he gets signed in Arena. But the other one, this is one of the best stories. We have a college program around here. It's only been around 5 or 6 years. They've already produced two professional players. Aaron Finch is a defensive back down there in Jacksonville, and then Brandon Munoz, who scored a few touchdowns down there in the fullback position, but also playing in that MAC and in that defensive end position. I mean, what a feather in the cap already for head coach Zach Bruni at Wheeling University to put two guys in the pros and one of them who's making a case to be on the all NAL team.
Yeah, I mean, his ability, we got the chance to, oh, I did, but I know you already had a couple games, but I got a chance to call a couple of, minutes of his games, and just unbelievable, just his ability to get off of blocks and just get where he needed to and get to the ball carrier, whether it be a quarterback or a running back, just unbelievable talent.
Yeah, and I mean, there's another one now, Lowell Patron. He has an XFL tryout now. He's going to be down at the combine, and so we don't just talk arena football and minor league football because we like it. We talk about it because there is a lot of a local connection. I mean, yeah, there are guys that have made it to the NFL from the Valley, which is great, and we'd love to see that, but there has been a lot more of a connection with indoor and arena football, and now with some of these other leagues popping up. There's a huge OVAC connection here, or area connection, however you look at it.
Yeah, I mean it's nice to know that and things, and people talk, and guys help guys out. It's a networking business. I mean, you know that as well as I do.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, yeah, well, all except for like one game, a lot of the time these guys are joking, having fun before the game, beating the hell out of each other for, however many minutes it is. I think it's 60 now, but beating the hell out of each other and then having a good time after the game. And that's what it's all about because they want to see each other succeed. Like, yeah, you wear different jerseys, your enemies on the field for that 60 minutes because at the end of the day, you are playing for that name on the front of your jersey and you are playing for yourself to a point. But it is just one big family and they want to see guys go to the next level. They want to see guys succeed, and it's just a big family, and I love it. I mean, that's whoever thought that a guy from St. Clairsville, Ohio, would go down and be the PA announcer for a team in Greensboro, North Carolina. And it was only because I knew the people down there, and it's just it's how it is. And then even with the new team coming into Wheeling here, with Rez, he's been around for a long time. He's well connected, and yeah, it's just awesome. It's just a small family, whether you're in the front office, whether you're just a game day worker, whether you're the ones wearing that jersey or coaching, it's just one big family, and I love it.
Yeah, we'll definitely touch on some more things once more things happen and we get, some more knowledge of things happening and, what's going on. But yeah, the excitement of having a team again is just, you and I definitely, I mean, I feel like I haven't shut up about it for the past 2 days. I'm sure my wife wants to kill me because that's all I've talked about for the past 2 to 3 days is just, the fact that, indoor football is back in the city of Wheeling, and it's a passion of mine, and it's been something that's very, very close to me for a long time.
Well, I mean, I even go back to 2019 when the Rough Riders first announced that they were coming here. You were like, dude, do you know anything about this team? I'm like, nah, man, you got to tell me. And then next thing I know, like, here we are winning a championship and the 2020 team on what could have been. Oh, my Lord. I mean, we talked about Darius Prince, Arvell Nelson, all these guys were signed with this team. I mean, it was essentially going to be an all-star team.
Oh, it was absolutely probably it was unbelievable. I mean, I definitely with the competition that they were going into, could they have gone undefeated? Maybe, but I don't think they would have. But I mean, it's just one of those things that they definitely would have had a shot at a championship, that's for sure. I mean, the team that they were putting together was unbelievable. I mean, it just and the utility that they were putting together is, on that front three. Any of those guys could play every position. Plus, they had a couple linebackers that could jump down and play any position on the line. I mean, you see it now. Calvin Fance is that way. I
Oh,
mean,
yeah.
he is that guy.
Yeah, I mean, watching him play earlier this year and just, I mean, I don't think the guy ever left the field. I mean, I know he was out there on kickoffs. The only time he might not have been out there was kick return, but I mean, he was out there on each side and got to see him play, what was that, 2 years ago when he was up in Jersey with the flight and he was up there with Larry Beavers and But yeah, I mean, it's just great to see this, and that's why it is such a small world. I mean, a couple years ago, I'm up there in New Jersey watching all these guys play, and next thing you know, the Flight are no more, but then they're, scattered around and running into guys again. And same thing when we went up there, I actually had my West Virginia Rough Riders Championship shirt on and go walking out on the field. Guy pulls me aside. He's like, "Oh yeah, West Virginia Rough Riders. I played a game when they were in Richmond." And it's just like, "Oh, well, who knew?" It's such a small world, and I love it.
Well, that's the great thing about, arena is, it is mostly everybody is signed for a year. So a lot of these guys have either played against each other or played on the same team, and all of these franchises, that's the one great thing. If you guys have never paid attention to arena or indoor football, go to a game. I mean, honestly, it is a family atmosphere. It's fantastic. The biggest thing is, and those guys absolutely love it, and that the smiles on these kids' faces after the game when they're down on the field signing autographs, that's the best part. I mean, those guys just eat it up. They love it. The kids, Anthony Previs was a big one. He was racing kids up and down the field after playing a game, would go down, cover a kick, kick a kick, go down, be on return team, and then go run sprints with kids on the field.
So one of the co-owners, Rez, I don't have his number or anything, but Rez, if you're listening in here, I do have the phone number for Anthony Prevost, and I can confirm that he is one hell of a kicker. So if you need a kicker, reach out to me, big guy. We'll make sure we make that connection.
But yeah, these guys, they became part of the community. I mean, every time I was at work, I would see Beavers or Love or any of those guys, they didn't have to come up to me, but they did. They would always be like, "Hey, what's going on?" Talking to me, saying, this, that, and the third. And, the fans love that. They were interacting with people inside the store. Like, they were always wearing their team gear out. Like, that's what you need. Like, that's the glue that you need for this valley. You know what I mean? And I'm glad that we're getting, that back again.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, even in my short time down in Carolina, especially that Fayetteville game, I'm just kind of standing down there getting ready for the game, and then all the way across the arena I hear Chris, and just being able to run, sort of like near midfield and just embracing Larry Beavers again, it just meant the world. Like, he was somebody that always had my back because, yeah, when I first was the broadcaster for the Rough Riders, like, yeah, I was a little rusty. I was still learning the arena game. So, I was getting heckled a little bit, but Beavers and the players were always like, "Man, we love you. We love what you do." So, he made a huge impact. And then, getting to run down and see Darius Prince when he was down there with Albany, and just catching up with a lot of these guys. And Rakeem Cato was another one. I got to talk with him and said, "Hey, man, watched you in your Marshall days, loved you." And he said, "I'm like, I love what you're doing in arena." And just a good guy, I mean, he's a little hard headed, he's competitive, but hey, he's a football player, he's emotional, but it really is a family, and that's why I just absolutely love this game. I love football in general, but it also helps me get through that December to August funk when there's no high school football going on. So, it's nice to have arena thrown in there, but man, I'm telling you what, we need to get something that's in January and February, man, because I get very depressed during those months without any football.
Well, I mean, we've got hockey, but I mean, I
Yeah, we got
understand.
hockey. Yeah,
We
that's
got
true.
hockey, but I mean, I understand. I get it. I get it. But yeah, I mean, it just, and I know hockey's the same way. I mean, you guys, you go travel to different teams, but I go back to that thing. It's, the length is a year. So, I mean, there's so many people intertwined with everybody that it's almost a brand new team every year. I mean, you take Northern, well, I'll talk IFL for a minute. You take Northern Arizona, for example. 2 years ago, came in as a franchise, only won two games, completely redid the entire franchise, brought new people in, kept a little bit of the same. I think they kept three people on the roster, ended up winning the championship the following year. I mean, it's the quickest turnaround you can see in sports, in being in an arena or indoor.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. I mean, you hear it a lot. I mean, especially I'm going into my second year as PA announcer for the Nailers, and they're kind of like, "Oh, why aren't we bringing this guy back, or why aren't we bringing that guy back?" Okay, they might be good players, but the thing is, we do not have a championship here yet. And you go back to the 15-16 Kelly Cup run when the Nailers, they were almost able to defeat the Allen Americans. A lot of people are like, "Oh man, I wish we could have kept that team together." Well, it's kind of a two-edged sword, because if you have a team that's that good, guys are going to move up to upper leagues. And that's essentially what we saw at the end of that season. Guys just kind of started signing AHL contracts, or they signed for more money overseas. It's going to happen. But, you know, there's certain players, there's actually two of them that haven't been announced yet that aren't going to be with the Nailers this year that I think are going to absolutely shock people. And, but at the same time, you know, these guys being great players, they still haven't brought a championship here. So what do you have to do? You have to try to bring in and build that championship type team. But you look at the signings that the Nailers have had. Matthew Corsia, you know, he's a tough guy. He scored a lot of goals. Unfortunately, missed all of last season with an injury, but I think he's going to be a huge addition. You go and you build two guys that are in their second seasons now in Davis Bunce and Louis Rail, and then you add Peter Laviolette.
I got a Buns story for you. So real funny. So we were down. We got the chance to go to Norfolk this year, and I think it was the third game of the weekend. And you could tell at this point they were just so done with Norfolk. They were done seeing them. They were done with the cheap shots. They were done with everything. One of the ice crew guys come out, little kid. He falls down. Buns picks him up, and then 5 minutes later, Buns is in the corner, almost next to the trapezoid, just pounding on a dude. And I'm like, okay, he found the switch. Like, it's just in
And that's the thing, you know, Bunzie is, he's a very emotional player, but he's a very good player. And he's one of them that I really got to enjoy watching last season. He's a great player on the ice, even better guy off the ice. But that was something that meant the world to me, too, especially that last game of the season. You know, we knew we weren't going to make the playoffs, but you know, I'm starting to pack everything up. Of course, I'm emotional. You know, my first season's over, and then I look up and there's like three or four players at the penalty box door, you know, waiting to give me a hug and stuff. And it's just, you don't see that. You know, a lot of players don't come over and just thank the PA announcer, but you know, and some of those guys, you know, I'm definitely going to miss them. Sam Tremblay is the biggest one. You know, he had told me before the season that the plan was to play 1 year in North America and eventually go overseas. And man, Manchester, you guys are getting one hell of a player, so I'm excited for him. But you know, we're gonna have, I have a lot of faith in Derek Armey and that he's gonna bring in a very competitive team this year, and he's definitely off to a great start with the guys that have been re-signed so far.
Absolutely. Once we start getting more signings, to definitely be a conversation, definitely a topic of an episode. Get Jordan back in here. Definitely get my hockey guys together and start talking some more about that. But hopefully we get some more information here soon about the new indoor team
Yes.
coming to Wheeling, and we'll definitely chat it up about that. But you know, I'm gonna put out some pictures here on the social media of just the different things and new additions to the studio, and see what everybody's favorite part of the new studio is. Because you know, it took a lot of hard work, took a lot of time to put it together, and it definitely turned out good. I mean, we're at a point where we can always add stuff, but I mean, it definitely looks good. And you know, Chris, thank you for tracking down some of these things for me to help, you know, build the new studio here.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I appreciate you asking. And yeah, so we have, you know, some Nailers jerseys. I was able to dig up an old Greyhounds jersey and some mini helmets here too. You know, it's a nice touch. And yeah, it's going to be exciting. There's a lot of great things to go on here. We can't wait to get the rest of the boys on here, get the video going again. I mean, Jeff and I, we just kind of threw this one together to let you know we're all still alive, but yeah, unfortunately, sometimes life gets in the way. You know, your situation, you were moving and everything, so took us a little while there. And you know, I had some unfortunate series of events in my life, but we're back, and we can't wait to bring you guys the content, especially about this new arena team. If you couldn't tell, Jeff and I are pretty darn excited about this.
Yeah, definitely touch on that a little bit more. But guys, like I said, like Chris said, you know, we're here. We've just taken a break for a little bit, but definitely, you know, in a space now where we can just, you know, give a call and say, hey, let's do an episode. So definitely gonna get the video back together. You can check out previous episodes on Spotify and all the other places you listen to your podcast. That's Boys from the Wheel podcast. All the same episodes on there, and also going to be getting some video back on, get some episodes back together on the R&R Network on YouTube. So definitely, guys, thanks for hanging out with us in this, you know, new beginnings for everybody. So we'll catch you next time.